Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to Psalm 37 and the 23rd verse. Psalm 37 and verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Psalm 37 and verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Oh, that we might each be found among these good men that are named in this text. Because if we are, all our steps will be ordered by the Lord. And as we noticed this morning in the case of Joseph, how wonderfully the Lord ordered it all. And the blessings that there were in those steps. Well, as help this afternoon, we would venture to look a few more of the steps of a good man. First of all, firstly, think of what is recorded in this psalm. Really, there are some wonderful steps at the commencement of it, and I just want to hint at them. Because if we are among these good men that fear the Lord and seek him to go with us and to direct us and order our steps, these steps will be very vital. Firstly, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land. Verily thou shalt be fed. What a wonderful step when the sinner is able to trust in the Lord. Look in your heart and mind, where are we trusting this afternoon? The hymn writer was very clear, wasn't he, when he said, "Oh, beware of trust ill-grounded." Many trust in themselves. Many trust in this world. Many trust in man. Lean upon them. But oh, to be found in this wonderful step of trusting in the Lord God of heaven. Putting all our hope, all our trust in him. Knowing that he alone can do us good. He said, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." You see, those that trust in the Lord, there's a wonderful promise here for them, isn't it? And the Lord will bring every one of his dear children to take that venture of faith and the trust and trust in the Lord God of heaven. This is where the Lord brought Jacob. He brought Joseph. He brought Abraham. He brought Isaac. And he'll bring every one of his dear people. You think of the future, the unknown way. Trusting in the Lord. When Noah built the ark, where was his trust? It wasn't in what everybody was saying round about him, was it? It was trusting in the Lord God of heaven as he built it. But the second step that is wonderfully recorded here is delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You know, the Lord will make himself the sinner's delight. They delight in him. You think of those dear godly women that live so near the Lord Jesus, Mary Magdalene and others. Their whole delight was in their Saviour and doing his will, keeping his commandments. And look how wonderfully the Lord directed their steps. So he says, delight thyself also in the Lord. You know, we have an old nature and our old flesh, it delights in things of time, doesn't it? But the new man of grace, all it delights in is the dear Lord Jesus, and to do his will, to obey his voice, to keep his commandments and his precepts. It's the soul's delight. And it's only under grace, the grace of God, that we can venture in this step of delighting in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee. What a beautiful promise, isn't it? He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Those inmost desires, the desire for pardon, the desire for peace, the desire to do his will, the desire to be obedient to his commands. Those feeble desires, you may say, oh, but my desires are so feeble. You know, when I was young, I used to look in my heart sometimes in my earlier days and used to think, well, my desires seem so feeble toward the Lord. And I remember the dear old pastor at Staplehurst in my early days, he quoted that verse. It was such a help to me then. I've thought about it many times since. Those feeble desires, those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids us still seek. And may that be some encouragement to some poor seeking soul this afternoon. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. You see, there are the desires we have that are the flesh, aren't they? But there are those desires of the heart. And they're the vital desires. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Just stepping back to dear Hannah that I concluded with this morning, how she waited for the Lord's appearing. You think of the desires of her heart. Her heart's desire because of her barrenness was for the Lord to give her her Samuel. Her heart's desire was that the Lord would turn the sorrow that she was walking through into joy. Her heart's desire was the Lord would put down her adversaries. And if you've got a real religion, child of God, you'll have many adversaries. And the Lord was to grant her the desires of her heart. He gave her a Samuel, didn't he? He blessed her in her soul so she could truly praise and bless his holy name. And he put down all her adversaries. He set her free. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. not the desires of thy carnal mind, the desires of the flesh, the desires of thine heart. You know, dear David had a real heart religion. And if you and I have got the little of the religion the Lord gave to David, we know he was a poor sinner. We know he fell. We don't make any excuse for him in any way. But he had those real desires of heart. And the Lord granted them to him. He put away all his sin. The Lord did. He put down all his enemies. The Lord did it. And he raised David from the dunghill among the princes of his people and made him king over the land. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. But then, the third step, commit thy way unto the Lord. You know, it's a wonderful word, that commit, isn't it? The margin tells us, roll thy way upon the Lord. It's like when we stood at the grave the other day here, we had to commit the mortal remains of our dear friend to Mother Earth. And when you commit it, you leave it there. By law, you're not allowed to take it out. It has to be left there. And I use that as a simple illustration. You know, to commit our way, thy way, the way the Lord is leading you, the path you're walking in, the afflictions you may be in, the troubles you may be in, leave them all in the Lord's hand, you say. Just going back to Joseph, we looked at this morning. You know, when he was in Potiphar's house, what do we read? That Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And no better hand could he leave it in than Joseph's hand. Now think about it, it's in your case and mine. The heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus. Commit it all, whether it's in your soul, in your body, in the family, in your pathway in providence. Commit it all into his hand. Don't try and hold on to part of it. I remember one of the old ministers saying, he said, people say, oh, well, we've committed the matter to the Lord. He said, when they're still holding on to the tail of it. In other words, they haven't left it all with him. Commit thy way. That way the Lord's appointed for you to walk in. The path that he's ordained for you. Commit thy way unto the Lord. It's a good step, isn't it? Committing thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Not only are you committing it into his hand, but you're trusting in him to bring it all to fruition. In his time, in his way. I often quote it, but it's real to the child of God. A time he has set to heal up thy woes. A season most fit his love to disclose. Until he is ready to show his goodwill. Be patient and steady and wait on him still. The steps of a good man are ordered. We notice this morning how wonderfully the Lord orders the steps of his dear people. And you think of these three steps we've named this afternoon. He's ordered them. They're to be fulfilled in the heart of the child of God. Trust in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Commit thy way unto the Lord. It's all in him, you see. This is what makes it so real to the child of God. It's all in the Lord. It's not in the sinner. He enables them to walk in these steps. And then, fourthly, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest in him. A beautiful place of resting, isn't it, in the Lord? Do you think of the dove when Noah sent her forth? She went forth to and fro in the earth, found no place to rest in. The only place of rest was in the ark. And as we read, Noah put forth his hand and took her in. It was a place of rest. She couldn't rest anywhere else. Rest in the Lord. What a step. You think as we go forth from this service and the unknown way of the future, may these blessed steps be of paramount importance in our hearts. They're not the desire or the concern of the world, are they? They go along as though they've got no God at all. Well, they haven't. But no, the Lord looks upon them. The day is coming when they will come to their end. But what then? What about us? May our great concern be to be found on a solid resting ground. Rest in the Lord. You see, David could write these things from experience. Oh, he could. The Lord had took away from under David's feet on so many occasions false resting places. And I would sweep the floor with it today. There's only one place the sinner can rest, and that's in a precious Christ. No other resting place will do. You will notice in all these things, it's in the Lord. And as the dove returned to the ark, in that ark, was a beautiful resting place. The hymn writer described it better than I can. In the ark the weary dove found a welcome resting place. Thus my spirit longs to prove rest in Christ, the ark of grace. Safe ground, poor sinner. What about your heart and mine? Are we resting in him? What a step, isn't it? To rest in the Lord. Why, there's your security. There's the good foundation. There's the place where the sinner will never be moved. We sang the other Sunday, didn't we? On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Rest in the Lord. And then what sweet instruction. Wait patiently for him. Oh, to be given that heavenly patience to wait for him, for his appearing, for him to answer your prayers, for him to fulfill the sweet promises that he's given you. They won't fall to the ground if the Lord has given you to them, poor sinner. Oh no. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? So he says, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. There are two further things I just want to say about the commencing of this psalm before we go further. And I don't know why I name them, but they seem to rest upon me. He says here at the commencement, fret not thyself because of evildoers. You know, really, it's a wonderful step when we don't have to fret, isn't it? We're often fretting, aren't we? We're worried about this and worried about that and something else. Fret not thyself. Remember speaking from it at Ashwell many years ago now, a lady came to the chapel, you know, and she was full of trouble. All things weighing her down. I knew nothing about it at all, what she was in. But I spoke from those words, fret not thyself. Now, there may be one here that's fretting over something in your pathway or something in the family. And we often are, aren't we? It may be something in the business or something at work or with your young ones at school. And you fret about it. But the word of God is very clear. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. You see how powerful the Lord is and how wonderfully he works. Fret not thyself. You know, all David's enemies, and David knew what it was to fret from time to time, all David's enemies were in the Lord's hands. Oh, yes. You know, I've often mentioned, haven't I, about the children of Israel at the Red Sea. When you look at all that case, the children of Israel are in the Lord's hands. And all that concerned them. And they had many fears about Pharaoh and his hosts. But you know, and we are like them. But we forget that Pharaoh and his hosts were in the Lord's hands. He was to take off the chariot wheels. He was to destroy them in the sea. They were all in his hand. The sea was in his hand. Think of the wind today. It's all in the Lord's hand. Many are fretting throughout the nation, no doubt. There may be many that would have been here if they could because of the wind. And we fret concerning it. But you know, it's all in the Lord's hand. And these words have been with me much today, thinking of all the threats that have been about it. He causeth it to come. It won't come without the Lord causing. He causeth it to come, the book of Job tells us, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. He causeth it. There's a reason. But what a wonderful mercy it is that if it's for correction. And sometimes we're fretting because the Lord is correcting us. But it's a sign the Lord loves us if he corrects us. The word of God makes it very clear, doesn't it? Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. And what a mercy it is. He does correct his dear children. And you know, sometimes you have to walk in the steps of correction. Oh, you will. We need correcting daily, don't we? And only the Lord can correct us. weather for correction. I know many sermons could be preached on it. Or for his land. When you think of the land, think of the sin and wickedness of this land. No wonder the winds come, is it? He causeth it to come. And you know, when you walk in the steps of the winds of Satan and the winds of unbelief and the winds of carnality and worldliness, and so we may go on. And the Lord corrects you in it. What a mercy. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. It's a mark of sonship. These good men, the steps of a good man, are ordered by the Lord. Well, I hadn't really intended to look at that, but fret not thyself. Everything is in his hand, you see. What are we saying? All events at his command. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. But then one further. Cease from anger. Cease from anger. Now, they're not my words. They're the Lord's words. Cease from anger. And forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Cease from anger. You know where anger rests and comes from? It resteth in the bosom of fools, the word of God tells us. And you often find a person's anger goes on and on and on. It speaks of foolishness. It rests in the bosom of fools. Cease from anger. It's solemn, you know, really, when you think. Man by nature, from time to time, even a child of God left to themselves, can be angry with the Lord and his dealings with you. You rebel. Anger rises in you. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. And think of that. Anger resteth in the bosom of fools. You know, I remember some years ago seeing, I believe, a child of God very angry in things. And the Lord spoke that word to me, you know, concerning them. And I've never forgot it. Anger resteth in the bosom of fools. And I thought, well, you know, it's a solemn thing, you know. I hadn't intended naming this, it just comes, so I will name it, but you see, that's a step sometimes the child of God has to walk in. And they need much grace to be kept from anger. But there are further steps we would just briefly look at. Firstly, the lesson we read this together this afternoon, that wonderful chapter concerning Abraham's servant, under commission from Abraham, but not just from Abraham, the commission of God to go and seek a wife for Isaac. You look at the steps of that dear man. Firstly, the step of prayer. Do you know what it is to walk in the steps of prayer? I remember reading the account, I think it was, if I remember rightly, of Mr. Vinell, came all the way from Lewis. He walked here. in my grandfather's time, he told me, he said, you know, the dear man was in so much trouble. He walked all the way from Lewis here to the Dicker to hear the late Mr. Vine, the beloved pastor. And he said, you know, those miles that he walked, now I'm not sure what the mileage is, whether it's 12 miles or 18 or what it is, from Lewis. He said, but I walked all those miles step by step in prayer to the house of God. And the Lord so blessed him in the house of God. He said, I walked the miles home, the same mileage, in a different step, in a steps of praise. He said, I prayed all the way there and I sang all the way home. That's a wonderful step. Think of Abraham's servant, the step of prayer. You may say, oh, but I don't feel I can pray. You come to, you feel so poor, so helpless, Lord, but are my prayers real? Do they pierce the home roof? Do they pierce the chapel roof? Do they enter into the ears of the Lord God of Sabaoth? Well, poor soul. Prayer's a weapon, we sang it recently, didn't we? For the feeble. Weakest souls can wield it best. Prayer is a weapon. And all to walk that step. And think of Abraham's servant. How did he go down to Laban and Bethuel's house? Praying his way along. Wrestling prayer can wonders do. Bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. Pray if thou canst or canst not speak. Oh, the groans, the sighs that go forth, the longings from the heart of the child of God, and they're all known to the Lord, but oh, to walk that step of prayer. It's a wonderful thing, you know, the steps of a good man. Ordered. He orders his people to prayer. You think of what the Saviour said. How many times do we lay that to heart? What Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. You think of the times this trouble comes or this affliction or this distress comes and what happens? We're fainting. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. They're the words of the Saviour. Oh, to walk the steps of prayer. Now that's how Abraham's servant walked the steps of prayer. Oh, he did. But then you look how wonderfully he walked the steps of faith, believing that the Lord would answer that prayer. 'Tis by faith and not by sight Christians yield obedience. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Oh, you think of the steps of faith the dear man had as he ventured to ask that the woman that shall come forth to the well would say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. His very desires the Lord gave him. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And then you think of Rebecca. The steps. It was a big step for her to take, you know. to go with that servant down to Isaac. And what did they put to her? What a question, you know. Wilt thou go with this man in this step? And you look how the Lord had made her willing. She says, I will go. And that came from a soft-hearted Rebecca, you know. I will go. Those of you that may be sacredly and exercise concerning the ordinances of the Lord's house, the step of baptism, wilt thou go with this man, a precious Jesus, obey his commands, his precepts, his ordinances? Wilt thou go with this man? And she could truly say, I will go. That Abraham's servant was a beautiful type of the dear Lord Jesus. Oh, he was. Now, I love the Old Testament, how many beautiful types there are of a precious Jesus. We had it with Joseph. We have it with Abraham's servant. And all those steps as she goes down to Isaac. And oh, how wonderfully the Lord joined them together. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And you think of the step of going, if I may just step back a moment in that case, you think of the steps that the servant took to go to Laban and Bethuel's house. What response would he receive? Faith in him believed the Lord had gone before. You see, the vital thing was with Abraham's servant, the same with Joseph, the Lord was with them in it. And if you got the Lord with you in it, poor soul, those steps will be made very precious. And you'll be brought into the second part of the text. He delighteth in his way. And it was Abraham's servant's delight to go. And it was Rebekah's delight to go with him down to Isaac. But think of the house when he got to the house of Laban and Bethuel to tell his errand. They didn't put him away, did they? Oh no. What did they say? Sacred, blessed words, aren't they? Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. Oh, may we know more and more of what it is for in the steps of providence, the steps of grace, to know and feel the sweet presence of the Lord with us. You look at Peter going down to Cornelius's house. The steps of that dear man on the housetop in Joppa were all known to the Lord. And the steps down to Cornelius's house were all ordered by the Lord. And the steps of his ministry were all ordered by the Lord. And look at the steps that followed him. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized as well as we? And you look how all the household of Cornelius were made willing, from the youngest to the eldest, to venture in the Lord's sweet commandments, obeying the Lord's voice. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And then briefly, as we close, and he delighteth in his way. He delighteth in his way. He'll make his commands your delight. You read Psalm 119. You know, one of the old preachers said it's one of the most sacred passages in God's holy word for exercise sin of venturing to follow their Lord and Master. How they love his testimonies, how they love his statutes, how they love his commandments. If ye love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. Love constrains. What did the apostle say? For the love of Christ constraineth us. Love constrains for two to be joined in matrimony. They're constrained by love, one to the other. And love to the Lord who has so loved you will constrain you. It's not a one-way street, I say that reverently and rightly. Love to the dear Redeemer who has done so much for you, answering prayer, blessing you with peace. They that seek me early shall find me. The steps of a good man are ordered. And what anybody may say, the close of this service, think about the ordering. Are by the Lord. They're ordered by him. You know, often there are those that when someone ventures to follow the Lord, there are those that will be willing to pull something to pieces concerning them. But we got a good answer here. The step was ordered by the Lord. Oh yes. He himself in Jordan's river was immersed beneath the flood. You know, he set the example. And you think of his steps that he walked from Bethlehem to Calvary. And then the steps into glory. And the day is coming with us each when we shall have to take that great step of death. Oh, to be amongst those that are in this text, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And when they come down to the swellings of Jordan, to the great river of death, that great step will be ordered by the Lord. He'll be with you in it. Underneath are the everlasting arms. Well, I've scratched the surface. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply the text, if nothing, that I've rambled round today. Amen.